O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. One day when Luke and I hadn't been dating for very long, he and I went for a walk around Lake George, and we walked past this house with a dog in the front yard. And the moment we got in front of the house, the dog started barking and ran at us, and Luke, man that I love, when we were still dating and very much in the he should be trying to impress me phase of our relationship, hid behind me. He literally put me between him and the dog. Now, he maintains to this day that he was just trying to let me get closer to the dog because he knows how much I like them, and he's not really a fan, but Luke's also a liar. So I learned that day two very important things about my husband. First, he's very protective of me unless it's about dogs, that I'm on my own. And secondly, he doesn't really worry very much about first impressions. This story we read today is really our first impression of Jesus from the Gospel of Mark. This is the first miracle story in Mark. It's the first way we see Jesus use his power. So it's an interesting way to start off a story, huh? Last week, he called his disciples to come and fish for people with him. And this week, he's already being accused of plotting to destroy us. Just who that us is, we'll get to in a moment. And Jesus responds to that accusation with an exorcism. This is all just chapter one. There's a reason Mark is my favorite gospel, and there's also a reason that this story is the way Mark kicks off his gospel. This story is important to our understanding of who Jesus is and what Jesus is trying to do here. But, and I want to be very clear about this at the top, that doesn't mean there's only one correct way to look at this passage, or one perspective to meditate on it from. This story is more of a kaleidoscope than a painting. And it leaves us with four very important questions. What us is the Spirit talking about? Is the Spirit telling the truth? If the Spirit is telling a truth, what kind of destruction is in store? And finally, why? As you may have already guessed, the way you answer one of those questions affects the way you ought to answer the rest of them. This passage may be short and to the point, but it isn't simple. So as far as I can tell, there are three predominant us's that folks think this passage may be talking about. First up, we have the demons camp, as in Jesus is going to destroy all the demons. Okay? Seems pretty cut and dried. The demon, in an act of self-preservation, tells Jesus to just go away and leave them alone. In this case, then, the demon would be telling the truth. Jesus does more exorcisms than anything else in Mark's gospel, and it's undeniable that Jesus intended throughout his life and ministry and death and resurrection for good to triumph over evil. So there you have it, case closed. Jesus is going to destroy the demons by exorcising them because demons are bad. And I know that that's going to be a satisfactory answer for some of you, and it isn't going to be a satisfactory answer for some of you, and that's okay. Some folks believe in demons, as distinct otherworldly supernatural entities, and some think of it more in terms of mental illness, and by extension, exorcisms as Jesus healing them in the way that they would have understood at the time without worrying about if they called it demons or temporal lobe epilepsy. I'm of the radical opinion that it doesn't actually matter, in the sense that I can't possibly know for sure, so I'm open to either possibility. I certainly don't think whether or not you believe in demons is going to show up on the getting into heaven final exam. I merely mention all this to say that if you need another way to look at this passage, then go ahead and turn the kaleidoscope, because there's more to be found here. Some folks believe that when the unclean spirit talks about us, the destruction is meant for the Jews and Judaism in general, which, of course, there are. Christians have said and believe stuff like that forever. This is brought to you by the same group that brought you the Crusades. Now, I don't necessarily think that's a bad direction to take things, as in thinking that the us is the Jews, if your point is that the demon is trying to get everybody riled up about Jesus, but is ultimately lying. The problem, though, is that the demons in Mark's gospel, they don't really lie. They just tell the truth at really inconvenient times, or in a way that twists the meaning. For example, the demons throughout Mark spend a lot of their time trying to tell everybody that Jesus is the Messiah before he's ready for that to be public knowledge. Mainly because if that information got out too quickly, he would have been put to death, you know, earlier. And Jesus, in turn, spends a lot of time shutting them up. So it's not that demons, according to this gospel, are liars. They're just untrustworthy. And they're actively trying to undermine Jesus and his ministry. So what does that leave us with? If the us is really the Jewish people and the demons probably aren't lying, this is probably one of those explanations that we're going to have to cross off the list. Christians have a lot of biblical interpretations lying on our shelves and in our subconscious that come from a long history of anti-Semitism. And every now and then, we have to do some cleaning out in there. In fact, I think a lot of the anti-Semitism that comes with our biblical interpretation comes from the fact that Jesus did a lot of calling out of religious authority figures in the Bible. But rather than own that he was calling out the religious authority figures, which today would be the church, rather than look in that mirror and see what Jesus is saying to us, it's easier to be taken with the letter and not the spirit of the law and think, well, they were Jews at the time, so Jews are the problem. Speaking of problems with the authority figures of his time, what do we do with this passage? If you don't happen to think Jesus' main mission was to eradicate all the demons, and if you aren't an anti-Semitic jerk, there is another option as to who the us the Spirit is referring to is. One that ties in nicely with our Hebrew scripture reading today. Some scholars note how the scribes come up a handful of times in this story, even though they don't have to. Jesus is compared to the scribes, as in he's the real authority figure, and they're just pretending. And one thing you can be pretty sure about with Mark, if he's including details, it's not just to add fluff. He doesn't mince words or beat around the bush. He adds details for a reason. Everything he says is in there for a reason. It's like Chekhov's guns. If you're going to write a story with a gun above the mantle, that gun better have fired by the end of the story. Mark definitely wrote by the same principle, so the scribes have to be in this passage for a reason. What if the unclean spirit in this passage gives voice to the anxieties of the scribes and other religious authorities? What if that spirit gives voice to the fear that Jesus is coming to destroy them, not in a physical sense, not in a violent sense, but in the sense that when someone comes along with real power and real authority, nobody will be willing to follow them and their deception and their self-aggrandizing anymore? Our passage from Deuteronomy was very clear that anyone who presumes to speak for God but knows they're just making stuff up is to be put to death. Which, yeah, is kind of extreme, but the other end of that extreme is what we're seeing in Jesus' time, where the people running the show are the deceptive prophets, are the ones who claim to speak for God, but who have no real knowledge or power or authority, the ones who run a temple system that price gouges on sacrificial animals, telling people their sins can't be forgiven if they don't fork over the cash. That, incidentally, is why Jesus flipped those tables in the temple courts. They're the same authorities that see a man healing another man on the Sabbath and call it a sin and not a miracle. They're the same authorities that would rather see an innocent man crucified than change their ways. That is the sort of thing Jesus intends to destroy. Why? Because those old dead ways have to get out of the way to make room for the real authority figure to take the lead and to do things his way with justice, kindness, humility, and love. And I believe Jesus is about the same work today. May we be true prophets, true ambassadors of God's kingdom on earth. But if we can't manage that, may we at least get out of the way.